Welcome to the Dermastore Podcast,
a chat about all things skincare, skin health.
And if you're a real skin nerd, we hope you'll join the conversation. Welcome to episode 32 of the Dermastore Podcast. Lara's on leave today, and I've got an episode lined up with a very special guest, as well as Dr. Webster in the studio. How are you, Dr. Webster?
I'm well, thank you.
I'll quickly tell you what I used this morning. We were in Korea not so long ago, and we picked up a brand called Another Face. They use peptides and panthenol in one of their ranges. So I used their Aqua Balancing Cleansing Foam this morning. It's a beautifully refreshing, lightweight foam. And then I used IS Clinical's Youth Serum, which is a great global anti-aging serum. And then I used Purcell's Rebooting Cream. For those of you who don't know, Purcell's also a new brand on Dermastore that focuses on the skin microbiome. It's a lovely medium weight cream. I think most people could enjoy it and use it. It hasn't got a fragrance. And then Modiderm Active D, my favorite sunscreen. So on to today's episode, we are exploring the fascinating connection between oral hygiene and skin health. And in the studio today, we have Natasha Swart from Curid in South Africa. She is a trained oral hygienist with a lot of experience. Hello, Natasha.
Hi, Craig.
How are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
Good. Lovely to be here with you today. We're very excited to talk about this topic because I don't think a lot of podcasts exist talking about oral health and skin health. So when we think about skin health, we usually focused on serums and moisturizers. How do we get to this place where we're starting to understand perhaps there is some sort of connection between oral health and skin health? And when it comes to gum disease in particular, it's not just maybe a dental issue. There's inflammation that obviously goes on in your mouth. So how could this affect other conditions like acne or eczema?
That's a very good question. And yes, unfortunately, people think that oral conditions just stay in the mouth and what happens in the mouth stay in the mouth. And that's really not true. So with chronic inflammation, it actually causes a disturbance in the rest of the body. That inflammation and bacteria actually enters the bloodstream and it affects not just your organs, but also definitely your skin health and aggravates conditions in and around your mouth area and the skin.
Dr. Webster, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, any chronic inflammation, if you have chronic gum disease or chronic periodontal disease, it releases these inflammatory mediators into your body. And that's bad for you. You know, it ages you, but it can also sort of aggravate conditions like psoriasis, like eczema, like rosacea. So it's very important. And I think it's a neglected subject or topic.
Yeah. They always say that chronic inflammation is the root of all evil.
Yeah. And they talk about inflammaging, you know, yes. Inflammation causes aging. It's not necessarily the cause of, say, atopic eczema or psoriasis, but it's certainly, if you've got an inflammatory process anywhere in your body releasing those mediators, it's going to make it worse.
So a big topic for us is the skin microbiome. We just launched a brand called Purcell, which I mentioned earlier, which is focused on restoring the skin microbiome, which helps with the skin barrier. And just as we have a lot of little microbes on our skin, we also have a whole ecosystem of microbiology going on in our mouths. So this too could have an impact on the skin.
Yes, absolutely. There are billions of bacteria in our mouth, and ideally it should be in harmony and in balance. But if you have a poor diet, smoking, vaping nowadays is a big thing, then it causes a dysbiosis or an imbalance in the bacteria, and bad bacteria actually takes over. And it's got a big effect on the natural microbiome of the mouth.
And so on that point, because we've always obviously taught to brush our teeth, go visit the oral hygienist regularly, a lot of people like to use mouthwashes. What is your take on mouthwashes?
So a daily mouthwash with antibacterial or antiseptic is definitely not recommended. If you brush every day, twice a day, and you clean in between using either floss or interdental brushes, and you use a toothpaste that contains hydroxyapatite, fluoride, or enzymes, that is good enough. So a mouthwash should only be used when recommended by a dental professional if you have chronic infections or abscess or gum disease, for instance, and then after surgery, post-surgery. But that should be used for a short period of time and not every day. It should not be part of your daily routine.
I see Curidin launched a more microbiome-friendly mouthwash. Again, that would only be used in acute scenarios, not sort of every day.
Absolutely, yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
We're very much on the skin against using antibacterial soaps. You often think you buy those in the supermarket that have got antibacterial action. We do not recommend that. And I think it's the same thing in the mouth. So we want to keep that healthy microbiome. You know, we want to preserve that.
And people, I think sometimes maybe who have inherently bad breath might lean towards using a mouthwash because they think it's going to help that. But obviously bad breath is caused by, what is it caused by?
Good point.
So
usually people will first tend to go to a mouthwash.
Yeah.
But actually tongue hygiene, very important.
Okay.
Use a tongue brush or a tongue scraper to clean off the bacteria. And then again, it's just good. It's usually also people who don't like flossing or cleaning in between that causes those bad breath causing bacteria to actually multiply.
Yeah.
So there's lots of factors. And it's not just a mouthwash should be a supplement and not a substitute.
Okay,
yeah.
Good way of putting it. I remember in COVID, we obviously sell Curaprox. That's why we're kind of having this podcast. I remember in COVID, we had this crazy spike in those tongue scraper sales. And it's because everyone was wearing masks and they obviously were quite conscious about what their breath smelled like because you wouldn't otherwise smell your own
exactly.
breath. But when you've got a mask on, which is kind of interesting. And can oral infection show up on the skin?
Definitely, yes. I think if you have chronic inflammation, gum disease, bleeding gums, it can affect the skin directly around your mouth area. Definitely along the jawline and also puffiness under the eyes, swelling. That is something that is really prominent when you have a problem.
The other thing I think was interesting when we were having this discussion beforehand, your absorption of nutrients. Obviously, when you have poor oral health, your body's not absorbing those nutrients as well. So that's kind of important, I guess.
Definitely. And the thing is, if you have missing teeth or painful oral conditions, you are not likely to eat fresh fruits or crunchy fruits and vegetables. And we know those contain zinc, vitamin C, amino acids. That's very important for collagen production. And collagen, again, helps with gum health and also vitality of the skin.
So if you've got no teeth, you've got to be taking a lot of supplements, basically. Yeah, no, but that's an interesting point.
Yeah, what about just general chronic inflammation in your mouth as far as aging on your skin? Aging, is there a link between that?
Definitely, because collagen, like we were just mentioning, chronic inflammation will break it down, and we need collagen for our skin health as well as the vitality of the skin and your cell renewal. You don't want chronic inflammation, and you can definitely see the collagen breakdown.
Yeah, there is a term called inflammaging, where any inflammation can cause that aging process. Mm. So I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's important.
And are there any lifestyle habits that improve both oral health and skin health at the same time?
Yes, drink lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the first rule. And then also, avoid smoking. I think vaping is a big problem today with everybody. And then also, just good oral hygiene in general. And then diet. Diet's very important. Avoid mm-hmm. sugar because sugar feeds bad bacteria. And we know smoking causes, vasoconstriction, but to the skin and to the gum.
Vaping, has it been proven to actually change like the microbiome? Vaping, are there studies to show that?
There's a lot of studies here. I think that's a podcast on its own.
In America, with the health secretary there, Robert F. K., there's a lot of discussion and controversy about fluoride in drinking water, and I don't know where fluoride and possibly in toothpaste. Maybe if you could just elaborate or just clarify something about that.
Yeah, fluoride is a very hot topic. So in South Africa, we have some regions with natural fluoride in the water. And I think it's important to know that it works different from the fluoride in toothpaste comparing to the fluoride in the drinking water. So fluoride in your drinking water gets absorbed systemically, and it affects the teeth while in the developmental stages. So yes, it can be a concern because it's very concentrated and also the frequency of use. Where fluoride in toothpaste is a topical application, and there's a targeted area. It's only getting applied when you brush your teeth, and it's got lots of benefits against dental caries or decay and remineralizes the teeth. So there's definitely a great benefit with fluoride in our toothpaste. And it's very unlikely for a person to get fluorosis through toothpaste. You don't swallow the amounts and quantities like you would during your drinking water.
Dr. Webster sent us an interesting article with the Gen Zs who are using adult dummies or pacifiers for stress relief, which is rather concerning. But you guys, Curaprox produces quite an interesting, it's quite differentiated, your dummy approach or your pacifier approach. Can you explain a little bit about that process to, especially for young parents who maybe don't know the difference between the types and the shapes of pacifiers?
Certainly. But before that, I want to say I'm very impressed with the Gen Z, because they're not shy of showing that they are stressed and that the natural sucking reflex can actually calm them. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm quite impressed. But yeah,
it's a new market for you guys.
New market, definitely. So getting back to the Curaprox soother, the soother is designed in such a way that it's not a traditional soother. It's more correctional soother. So it actually helps the babies to breathe through their noses, get the correct tongue position, and also help with the jaw and palate development. So to avoid misalignment and overcrowding and open bites in future. So where a traditional dummy is usually all rounded and can cause a narrow arch, forcing the babies to breathe through their mouths. Mm. And also they don't really work for that dummy. They just play with it. And it's not really a benefit to them in their jaw and palate development.
And to be clear, we're not saying that using a pacifier is a good thing in general. It's actually probably not a good thing. But if they do take to it, then they should use one with the correct shape.
Exactly. So, yeah, we first of all, no soother is the best.
Okay.
But if your baby do want to use a soother, I think the properties or the characteristics of the soother is very important to make sure it will support jaw and palate development.
Yeah, I think the mouth breathing things, also that's a whole nother podcast. It's super interesting how many people actually do just breathe through their mouth and don't use their nose.
Exactly.
And the benefits of actually nose breathing, because it filters the air. Your utilization of the oxygen is just so much better. It feels like you've got more energy. So a lot of athletes now are trying to train themselves to breathe through their nose as well.
Definitely. And babies are actually born nose breathing.
Okay.
So it's something that they...
Yes.
It's changing. So if we can create good habits early on by just using the correct soother, yeah, it will force them to breathe through their nose.
Very relevant, because I don't think a lot of parents know about the pacifier and how important it is.
Yeah. I think it really plays a big role. And like we said, if your baby do want to use a pacifier, the correct one is really important.
Great. And just lastly, how often should we be going for oral hygienist appointments? Some people say every 6 months, some people say every year, 2 years. What is the right sort of frequency?
Ideally 6 months.
Okay.
If you have good oral hygiene practices, once a year is good enough.
Okay.
But 6 months is really, that gives you the time frame of detecting any problems or disease occurring, and it's more prevention than cure.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you, Natasha, for joining us. I think that's all for today. It was great to have you on.
Thank you very much. Thank
you,
Dr. Webster.
Yeah, you lightened us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.
Don't forget to subscribe if you're keen to learn more about what we have to say. We'd also love to hear your thoughts and ideas and any questions for future episodes. You can email us on pod@dermastore.co.za.